This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This was Republican Ben Sasse last week dumping on Donald Trump.
The way he kisses dictators' butts. I mean, he and I have a very different foreign policy. It isn't just that he fails to lead our allies, it's that the United States now regularly sells out our allies under his leadership. The way he treats women and spends like a drunken sailor.
Sasse goes on and on, triggering a spasm of triumphal journalism about Senate Republicans like Sasse, like John Cornyn of Texas and Martha McSally of Arizona, finally fleeing the sinking Trump ship. Running for the lifeboats, as The Hill put it. CNN's Brianna Keller.
Some are coming to the realization that they're towing a President Trump-shaped anchor.
Different nautical analogy, but whatever. At Vox, politics and policy reporter Li Zhu described, quote, a broader trend of Republicans doing what many GOP lawmakers have long been unwilling to do, signal a break with Trump. That's true. Republicans have long been unwilling to break with Trump on Brett Kavanaugh's court nomination, on climate change, on immigration, on impeachment, on COVID, on health care, on the wall, on thousands of lies and cowardly attacks. The press, on the other hand, has been super willing to see such breaks coming. Just after the perfect call to Ukraine's president that triggered impeachment, Janan Ganesh in the Financial Times ventured that, quote, the GOP establishment might desert Mr. Trump as swiftly and unexpectedly as it bent the knee to him in 2016. In Fortune a year ago, quote, public support for impeachment inquiry surges as key Republicans distance themselves from Trump. And Business Insider headlined a story, cracks appear in GOP red wall of support for Trump. Nope, turns out that was one wall that went up and stayed up. Whether this and all the other crack noticing was a case of careless extrapolation or just wishful thinking, this time of year it all sounds so familiar.
Hey, aren't you going to wait and greet the great pumpkin? Huh? It won't be long now.
The press's great pumpkin vigil actually began before Trump ever took office. The Republican Civil War has begun, wrote Rolling Stone, in March of 2016. Republican exodus from Trump grows, claimed The Hill, which went all Dwight Eisenhower on how it was all going to happen.
Each defection could cause a domino effect for the Republican Party.
And good old Morning Joe.
They're not going to be able to endorse a guy that makes racist statements.
So many exoduses that weren't. So many growing distances. So many journo-geologists detecting so many fault lines. Perhaps especially at the Washington Post, which sees cracks everywhere. October 2019, the Republican cracks on impeachment are starting to show. September 2019, cracks emerge among Senate Republicans. March 2019, GOP unity behind Trump is cracking. January 2019, as Trump appeals to nation for wall, cracks show in his GOP support. And Post columnist Michael Gerson in August 2017. That sound you hear is the wall of elected Republican support for President Trump beginning to crack. Or just the sound of magical thinking. Meanwhile, as the press goes gaga over the candor, humility, and raw political courage of Ben Sasse, please note that over 4 years, the senator has voted with Trump 86.7% of the time. including on Brett Kavanaugh, including repealing Obamacare, including the border wall, including arms to Saudi Arabia, including the ruinous tax cuts, and including confirmation of Mike Pompeo, Wilbur Ross, Scott Pruitt, Betsy DeVos, Linda McMahon, and Bill Barr, and including impeachment. The heroic renegade Martha McSally has voted with the president 94.8%. John Cornyn, 95.1%. With distance like that, who needs blind loyalty? But on the hallows eve of election, here's the press once more suckered into the Exodus narrative. Some have compared such chronic gullibility to Charlie Brown thinking Lucy will finally let him kick the football. But how can we possibly trivialize a matter as grave as media failure by comparing it to Charlie Brown? Come on, be serious.
What did he leave us? Did he leave us any toys?
I was robbed! I spent the whole night waiting for the great pumpkin, but I could have been out for tricks or treats!
That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Alana Casanova-Burgess, Michael Loewinger, Leah Feder, John Hanrahan, and Eloise Blondio, with help from Ava Sasani. And our show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Sam Baer and Josh Hahn.
Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. And I'm inviting you to hang out with us on November 3rd for election night. It'll be on Zoom or something like Zoom, so you'll actually be seeing us and our guests. Just go to the Green Space, that's GREENE.org for more info, or text OTM Live to 70101 to get updates by text. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.